of our series entitled Alter Ego. And the first week we looked at, oh, by the way, we should probably define so we know what alter ego is. Alter, of course, means something that we lay down before God, meaning that something special, something that we would consider that we need to lay down before God, believing that God knows what's best and trusting God in it. We lay it down, trusting God for the results. Ego is how we see ourselves, or it might be how others say that we are. But when we look at ego, it deals with how we view ourselves. And we learn that sometimes we view ourselves either we're too high on ourselves, too highly, or we are too low in how we look at ourselves. And in this series, the idea is that we're wanting to lay down these confused ideas to become who God wants us to be. And the first week, we talked about my feelings of inadequacy, because all of us have feelings of inadequacy. I deal with it every Sunday night. Every Sunday night is a part of there are times and God has to remind me that it's not about me, it's about Him. And so I have to lay down my feelings of inadequacy. Last week, we looked at the fact of my surrendering the control of events, circumstances, people in my life, surrender them to God, believing that God knows what is best. God will take care of those. Today, we're gonna deal with the subject, my right to be offended. And we'll talk about that and how we surrender my right to be offended. And then next week, we're going to talk about the approval of others, how it's easy for us to live our lives based on what others approve of us. You know, how do we deal with that in our life, and how do we lay that down to God? And we'll look at that. But I want to ask you a question this morning about this week's message. Have you ever considered what is it that really offends you? And then, coupled with that, why is it that it offends you? I mean, why is it like that? Now, some of you may relate to this area of offense. It's certainly mine, Bay traffic. You know, I don't know what it is about the nicest people can get behind the wheel of a car and turn into the meanest monster there is. You know, the Bay traffic, for me, is very offensive. Because what happens is, you know, I'm driving down the road and I let people in front of me, you know, because I figure they're trying to lane change or get over, and there's traffic like this and you have to let people get in. But then, when it's my turn, they don't let me in. I don't like that. You guys know what I'm talking about? Amen? That's offensive, okay? Or, you know, you go down the road and a guy wants to get in, you let him in, and he doesn't even say thank you. That's offensive. The other day, I was driving down 680, and I was in the passing lane, and I was moving at a pretty good pace, and I'm driving down, and here comes a guy behind me in a van, and he's coming full throttle, and he's speeding, and he gets right on my bumper, and I'm trying to pass a car, and I'm trying to get over, but I get around the car there next to me, and when I got around, as he went around, he gave me the one-finger salute. I'm like, why? What did I do? You know, it just seems like it's that way. Maybe you can relate to some of those things. Perhaps maybe you have other areas which maybe that would not be an offense to you, but something else, like perhaps maybe the tone of someone's voice. Maybe when they speak, you think they shouldn't talk to you that way. What right do they have to talk to you that way? Why, you know, you never talk to them that way. Sometimes we do that. Or maybe they don't respond the way we think they should respond, or they don't return their text when you send it. Maybe that's the case. Or they do something rude, And they don't say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Or maybe you do something for them and they never even send you a thank you note for it. Or it could be something more like, I don't like the way they're acting. That's an offense to me. Or the dress that they're wearing. How can they wear that dress? It's strange. I mean, in the church world, that's where a lot of offenses occur. Strange. Christians are so easily offended. I mean, sometimes people get offended because this person comes to church. Sometimes they get offended because of something they do in the church. Sometimes people just get offended about what happens. Rather than rejoice that at least they're here and they're trying and they're wanting to do, they get offended by that. Or maybe you preach on a sensitive subject, like money. And people get real, real offended about that. You know, don't mess with my money. Don't mess. You know, it just seems like it happens that way. But why do we struggle with it? I mean, why is it that we are so easily offended? I'm trying to figure it all out. Because certainly I don't want to be offensive as a pastor to people. I don't want to offend people from the pulpit. I don't want to offend people from out here in the community. I don't want to do that. But why is it? Well, we all have this ego that we struggle with. And oftentimes, because of our ego, and that ego brings some insecurity, it seems as though that we have this, we want to win. We want to be right. We want to win. And for us, it means that if we win, they're wrong. I mean, they're wrong for that. And so our egos are so easily offended. But the strange thing about it is, not only is our egos easily offended, but it seems like we're looking for somebody to offend us. You know? Let me keep in mind one thing, okay? Something I learned a long time ago is that this is universal everywhere you go. You're going to deal with it everywhere you go. You know, it matters. It's going to happen at church. It's going to happen at work. It's going to happen at school. It's going to happen out in the community. It's going to happen at community event. It's just going to happen. It's just a part of what we learn that we have to deal with in our world. Because something I have found, here's a profound statement, and I would like for all of us to repeat it. Here's a profound statement. Ready? People are imperfect. Can we say that together? People are imperfect. How many would you agree that that is true? Amen? I mean, nobody's perfect. There's only one that's perfect, and let me tell you, it hasn't changed since he came 2,000 years ago. There's nobody's perfect. I mean, I'm not perfect. My wife is not perfect. Nobody's perfect. We don't have a perfect church. We're not perfect. Nobody is. And so I've had to learn over the years in dealing with what I would call offenses that come into my life. And it is true that as I deal with this subject, that I understand something about the imperfection of people. Here's what's really, really funny when we talk about offenses, people getting offended. It's funny because, you know, people form friendships based on the common agreement they're offended by this. You know, they kind of come together. Well, you know, you offended me and you offended this person. So we'll come together, we're buddies, and we're offended together. So we'll say, I don't like this, or I didn't like what the boss said. I didn't like how they did that. I didn't like this. And so we kind of come together. We form friendships based on offense. It's just funny how we are. So we get together and we kind of hock it out. We talk about it because we're offended at the same event or same thing or whatever it is. Well, the Bible has some answers on how we deal with the struggle, because I deal with it, honestly. You know, I have this sensitivity at times. I had to drive in Bay traffic Friday, and man, I was really offended. Everybody offended me, you know. My wife even says, why do you get so offended when they get like that? And I said, I don't know. But we do. And the Bible gives us. Let me give you a couple of things to help you. Number one, you might want to notice this. There's a verse in Proverbs 19:11. Here's what it says. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Now here's what he says. There is great reward when someone does something wrong to you and you overlook the offense. There's great reward. In other words, when you're willing to defer your anger, when you're willing to say, you know what, someone has offended me, someone has done this, and I want to overlook that. Now understand what it means. It doesn't mean we pretend it never happened, because it did happen. But the idea is that we're willing to pass over that offense. It's that we deal with it in that way. You see, a spiritually mature person, and I might add emotionally mature person, would say, you know, yeah, I could be offended and stay below that, but I'm going to rise above that for the glory of God. Because God's glory is more important. And I want to rise above that. And so I ask God to help me. And I've had to do this so many times in my life. And how many of you would say, yep, that's been me. I've had to deal with it. How many have done that? Amen? Well, I've had so many times. And so that means if I'm going to do this, then how do I deal? Well, I have to live out of grace rather than out of ego in my life. I have to live out of grace. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a battle between those two. Because ego always wants to step in the way and take over, but grace is what God says I have to live out of. And we're going to look at that and understand that in a minute. But notice what Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Here's what Paul says. He says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, if you remember, Paul, prior to his conversion, the Apostle Paul was a murderer. He hated Christians. He was out to get Christians. Then he met the Lord. And when he accepted Jesus, God changed his life. And he went from a murdering man to a man who was now a believer in Jesus. And he wanted to go and be with them. And when he went to try to be with those who he has offended, they extended to him grace. I mean, a lot of grace. Now, in the beginning, he had to prove himself. They were a little mistrusting. But they realized, through Barnabas' encouragement, that Paul was truly a believer. He wasn't going and acting like a believer to kill them, but he was going because he was a believer and wanted to be a part of what they were doing. And the Apostle Paul, the Bible makes it very clear that they extended to him grace. I mean, tons of grace. Now, if that's the case, let me ask you a question. And you don't need to raise your hand on this one, but let me ask you this. Have you ever been extended grace by someone? I mean, have you ever been extended by grace, extended grace to you by maybe other believers, other Christians? I'm sure we all have. I mean, Paul says that we are to extend this grace. We're to live our life out of grace and not out of ego. Not out of that which I think I should do or I am, but I live it out. Now, how do I do that? How do I live out of grace? I mean, if I'm to extend grace to others because grace has been extended to me, how am I to do that? Well, here's point number one. If you want to take some notes, they're in your service program there. Number one is, I will give the benefit of the doubt to others. I will give the benefit of the doubt to others. And Paul talks about that in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2. Here's what he says. He says, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. He says, because, Paul's saying, because the grace has been extended to me, because some God has given me his grace, then I am to give the benefit of the doubt to others. Here's a strange thought about this. It seems we judge others by their actions, and we judge ourselves by our intentions. So sometimes we'll say, well, you know, that person did that, and that's how we kind of shape it up in their life and our relationship with them or with this or that or whatever. And God says, wait a minute. Realize that all of us need to live out of grace. That's not easy to do. I mean, there are times when people are hurt or they're wounded, they're defensive. God says we're to live out of grace. Remember one night I was called to a scene of a three-month-old baby that had died. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you've ever gone to the scene of a death of a baby, that is a very, very difficult thing. And I remember when I went to that scene, I went to the house, knocked on the door, the officer greeted me, took me back to the room, and he says, get ready. And I went in, and they began to curse at me, and they were angry at me and said, what are you doing here? Because they were hurting. They just lost their three-month-old baby. And I said, I'm here to help you. How can I help you? And as I began to talk with them, they began to settle down and, you know, kind of come down a little bit. And they weren't as angry. And in the next hour or so that I stayed there with them and try to help them and process this and deal with this in their life, at the end they apologized and said, we're so sorry. But, you know, it's okay. Because something I learned is when people are hurting, they do things they shouldn't do. They say things they shouldn't say. Let me ask you a question. Anyone has ever said something that you wished you could take it back? Lots of things. I've said, I found myself like, oh, I wish I could hang on to that one and take it back. But it really does seem like we judge others by their actions, but we judge ourselves by our intentions. Well, I intended to say that. I didn't intend it that way. I didn't intend to do it that way. And what Paul's writing about is he's talking about this idea of looking at people where they are. Being willing to live out of grace. Giving them the benefit of the doubt. Secondly, let's consider, I will not label others. Now, I've thought about this and prayed about this thought, because considering this, can you imagine if God were to put labels on you based on your actions? I mean, just go back when you became a new believer. How about before then? Were there ever time when you said something or did something or stole something or lied about something or whatever the case is? Sure, we all have had that. Can you imagine if God said, you're a liar, you're a cheat, all those things? Can you imagine if God were to label us that way based on the way we behaved? But aren't you glad that God forgives? Amen? I mean, God forgives, and he gives us a second chance. You see, God doesn't put a label on us because we're all cleansed in the blood of Jesus because of what he did for us on the cross. It's by his forgiveness that we are not labeled by God, and yet we'll often find ourselves, find one or two moments in a person's life that maybe we have seen, and we'll put a label on them based on that. But God said in Luke chapter 6, he says, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall forgive. You know how it is. You meet someone, Maybe they're in a rough spot in their life, and they say something in an isolated situation that they shouldn't have said. Something stupid, maybe. Or they do something. And in our minds, we start creating this label. I remember years ago, I met this guy that was he was a chaplain in the Solano County Chaplains Association. And he was the kind of guy that just grated my nerves. You guys ever had someone just grate your nerves? And don't look at each other. I'm just asking, okay? But I mean, grated my nerves. And I remember, you know, I don't know what it is about him, but he kind of handled himself kind of with pride, almost like he knew everything. And I don't know what it was, but it just seemed like he had that. And I remember, you know, trying to be gracious to him and trying to live out of grace. I didn't always. But I remember one night he called me and we began to pray about the fact he had cancer, and we prayed together. And through that incident, it changed my life toward him. I asked God to forgive me for my attitude toward him. And now I consider him one of my dearest friends. Sometimes, I labeled him so wrongly, and I asked God to forgive me because I thought that this guy, there's something about him. You have to watch out, because sometimes I think that's how we do each other. Sometimes couples will do that. Well, he's like this, or she's like that, or he does this, or she does that. And, you know, something about labels is very dangerous. I want you to think about this. When you label someone, you dehumanize them to the place where you almost dismiss them from your life. You see, here's what happens. My ego tells me to label people, but grace empowers me to love people. See, my ego tells me, label them. And that's what I was doing with this guy. And God was saying to me, that's not right. You can't treat that brother like that. You can't treat another believer like that. You can't treat anyone like that. And God was saying to me, don't let your ego label that person. Let grace empower you to love that person. And sometimes that's what we have to do. And then we're talking about living out of grace. We're saying we have to give others the benefit of the doubt. Second of all, we don't want to give them labels. And then thirdly, I'll forgive as I've been forgiven. I'll forgive as I've been forgiven. Paul writes and says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now here's what God is saying. God is saying, forgive anyone who forgave you, who offended you, just as God forgave you. That's what he's saying. Now look, I know that's not easy. It's not easy for me. But what we need is we need a whole bunch of God's grace so that we can live out of God's grace. Amen? We need a lot of it. And it's not real easy. Now, when I say that, some people say, well, you know, Pastor, if all I had to deal with is being offended when I'm driving down the bay traffic and someone cuts me off, if all I have to do is just say, I forgive that driver, I could do that. I get that. Or if someone raises the tone of voice and says something that I wish they wouldn't have said, I can forgive that. I get that. I could do that. But how about the big stuff? What about that which is really big? In June of 2015, Charleston, South Carolina, a group of African Americans gathered for their normal Wednesday prayer meeting. They came together to pray for their city, for their church, for the needs of their community. When they gathered, in came a racist white man by the name of Dylan Roof. He came in, and they welcomed him with open arms. He sat down in the prayer meeting, and they treated him like Christ. At the end of the prayer meeting, he stood up, pulled out a gun and killed 9 of those people, including a young pastor, simply because he hated those who were black. In spite of the fact they loved him like Christ, he killed 9 of them. 9 of those church members there in that church. Once he was arrested, the family members of the victims were allowed to go to the court, and they were allowed to give a word to Dylann Roof. Now, I'll be honest with you, if I thought about my situation, and if that were me, I don't know what I would have said, but it certainly wouldn't have been what they said. Because what I would have probably said is, I hope you fry. I probably would be so angry and so bitter, but I want you to listen to their words. Hey, Andrew?
You took something very precious away from me. I would never talk to her ever again. I would never be able to hold her again. But I forgive you. And have mercy on your soul. You hurt me. You hurt a lot of people. But God forgive you. And I forgive you.
I forgive you and my family forgive you. But we would like you to take this opportunity to repent. Repent. Confess. Give your life to the one who matters the most, Christ, so that he can change it, can change your ways no matter what happened to you, and you'll be okay. Do that, and you'll be better off than what you are right now.
We welcome you Wednesday night in our Bible study with open arms. You have killed some of the most beautifulest people that I know. Every fiber in my body hurts. And I'll never be the same. Tawanza Sanders is my son, but Tawanza was my hero. Yes. Tawanza was my hero.
Yes.
But as we say in Bible study, we enjoyed you, but may God have mercy on you.
When I heard that the very first time, it broke my heart. Because I was thinking about how easily I'm offended because someone cuts me off. Or how easily I'm offended that someone would say something or not respond like I think they should or not send back a text and say what I think they should say or whatever. But these people had their family savagely taken away from them in their presence, and they stood there and said, I forgive you. I'm telling you, those people are living out of grace. They're living out of grace. It's not ego. That's God's grace. That's some of the godliest response I've ever seen in my life. I'll never forget that. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus says in Matthew, but if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You say, but we've been betrayed. How do we forgive those who have betrayed us or abused us? How do we forgive the unforgivable? The only way we can forgive, the only way, is by living out of grace. That's it. Ephesians 4, verse 23 gives a very difficult verse for us to apply. It says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You see, as we lay down our offense on the altar of God. We're saying, God, I have to trust you with this. See, in the Old Testament, when they would make a sacrifice for forgiveness, they would take an innocent animal sacrifice, and they would lay it on an altar, and they would kill that animal, and the blood that shed from that animal was the payment for that sin. That pointed to the ultimate payment that Jesus Christ gave when he died on the cross 2,000 years ago for all of our sins. The moment that we trusted Christ, what a difference God can make in our life because of what he did. He innocently sacrificed his life for us for forgiveness. Something I learned, God's been speaking to my heart about this whole thing, is this. It has been said that hurt people, and forgiven people, forgive people. No doubt about that. Forgiven people, forgive people. The reason why? It's not about us. It's about him. It's about Christ. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ, this God that forgave you on the cross for your sins wants to be your Savior today. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to turn to him today. And he's provided you the opportunity. And you can do that today. In a moment, we're going to have a word of prayer. But if God's speaking to your heart today, I'd urge you to accept him today as Savior. There's a connection card inside our service program. You can fill that out and just drop it in. We'll get some information to help you with that. Because I believe that God wants to forgive. I'm glad that God's a forgiving God. Amen? It's a God of the second chance. Let's pray.